This is a HeadGum Podcast.
Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Welcome back. Now, let's pick up where we left off.
We're Luna.
And this is Gayotic. Our podcast about absolutely nothing and yet everything, hosted by us homosexuals
who all share one brain cell.
Oh my god.
I'm Josette.
I'm Katie.
I'm Naomi.
The three of us have been in a band together for years. We've been friends for a decade, and we've been gay since the beginning of time.
Oh yes.
Want to talk about stupid stuff? Look, both of you look at me.
I'm seeing you.
Stupid stuff.
Oh, you know what you guys talked about? You touched on it in that last touring episode, but I never told the story. Was the Vegas dog show?
Let's talk about that.
Oh, okay,
should we call Scott?
Yeah, let's call
Dude,
Scott.
Call him. Yeah,
he
call
might
him.
Not answer.
Cold call him and see what's up. But it is a work day.
Okay,
is it
so
not?
We
he might not answer.
Are jumping right in. I know that we tried on a former episode to talk about touring, and we ended up kind of like not actually telling many stories. We're calling our old tour manager and drummer, Scott Heiner, right now to see if he works at...
The issue is he has a real job.
He has a real job now. He's in AI.
Should I leave him like 5 voicemails?
Let's just leave him a long voicemail.
Yeah.
We'll just say, you boofed it.
Unedited episode.
Yo.
Hey, Scott. Are you busy right now?
Depends on what's about to happen.
So we're recording the podcast right now. And nice. We are wondering if you would tell your version of what happened in Vegas, you know, and I know you have a real job.
I left a meeting too.
Oh no!
Are we live? Are we recording?
Yeah, we're always recording, but it's like we edit it. So if you want to call us back, or if you don't want to be involved at all, you're an individual with choice.
I'd love to be involved, but what are my timing options?
You can even just say like we can fill in the blanks of your story if you just tell a part of it.
Yeah, I think to be honest, give us like the pinpoints because I don't remember any of my life. So if you have the structure, basic structure of what happened, it might
it'll help us do the narrative justice.
Yeah, be a jumping off point. Okay, yeah, let's do it. Petapalooza 2016, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Petapalooza 2016. Let me run it back for you guys. Now, I believe, correct me if I'm wrong, I believe we had flown from London to LA.
Correct.
The previous day, right?
Correct.
You're correct, sir.
And then I was pinching pennies, which I shouldn't have been in retrospect, and Heather got kind of annoyed at me. But I flew us from London to LA instead of London to Vegas, and then made us get up early the next morning and fly LA to Vegas. Do you guys remember this?
Yeah, so I hate you, thinking back on it.
Yeah, so I thought I was, you know.
You were being clever.
Doing everyone a favor.
Yeah, we were broke as hell. We all know.
Yeah, but it turns out that it was radio promo budget, which is like unlimited. So they would have just paid for us to change our flights and go straight to Vegas.
Oh,
bummer. Anyway, I know Heather told me later, she was like, don't ever do that to my band again. I was like, oh, I'm so sorry.
Wow. Heather revealed.
All right, so yeah, we get on the flight, we roll up. I actually have a photo of you guys on the flight back.
Can you send that for sure?
Yeah, you're all dressed just head to toe in black and all in window seats, just three rows in a row, just lined up. Anyway, I'll send it to you.
Three of the saddest people in the world, yeah.
Yeah, you're actually all smiling, but probably inside it's melting.
Weren't we all sick as well?
Yeah, we were all sick.
So this was a radio festival?
Yes.
This was
radio promo. How does Katie not remember this? Okay, continue, Scott.
Yeah.
It was radio promo, and the radio station, their whole thing was like, yeah, we do a bring your pets to the park day and enjoy the dogs, enjoy the music. And yeah, you guys were on it. It was an acoustic show. We rolled up to the stage. I think like everything was pretty much fine, except that it was a radio show. It was acoustic. It was outdoors. It was windy.
It was hot.
Just from the, yeah, it was so hot. There was not many people, but there were some dogs.
Correct.
And from the get-go, it just, you know, it's like one of those sound checks where like the feedback is bad at the sound check, and you sort of go on faith that like, oh, but it'll be fine for the show. Like, right. Like they'll figure it out, but they don't figure it out. That's the whole point of a sound check. Right.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, the show starts and y'all are playing and the feedback is horrendous.
My
pacing around in the grass, like waiting for it to end, thinking about taking a video, trying to get a little of that feedback in there, trying to talk to the sound guy, but there's nothing I can really say or do. I felt kind of helpless. Dogs are there. Dogs are enjoying it.
No, but think about a dog's hearing.
I thought the dogs were actually getting upset because of the feedback.
Dogs, the dogs were barking and howling.
Yeah, because think about what a dog hears when feedback happens. Like they're hearing a larger spectrum of that feedback.
You know what dogs don't like? Music, loud music.
Well,
like
not distortion and feedback.
Yeah, it was my guitar that was feeding back. I remember seeing Scott in the crowd and going,
yeah,
oh,
Scott
my
was
God.
Trying to help you.
Yeah, I saw you trying to help me. It was yeah. so crazy.
But a festival for dogs, I'm sorry, like a music festival for dogs, it just shouldn't happen. They don't want it.
It's one of the most ill advised events of all time. Yeah.
Yeah. But I feel like it was short. It was over.
I remember y'all pushing through, though.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah, we did.
We were embarrassed. I was a little bit pissed. Yeah. I remember being in the trailer and eating a granola bar and saying,
what the fuck am I doing with my life?
Yeah, yeah, I mean, yeah. It's like you don't want to look your friends in the eye when it's happening.
You don't even want to look a dog in the eyes.
Well, you know, we couldn't even look the dog. We couldn't even look the audience in the eyes. We were so shameful for
the
dogs.
There was the saddest part from that I remember is that there was one person there with a Muna shirt, and I was like, oh no.
But it was mainly like I don't know if there was a crowd of people standing at all, or if it was just people walking by with their dogs.
It was
when
people
we were playing.
Walking by, dude.
Yeah.
It was mostly walking by. Yeah.
Yeah. It was.
Oh God. Well, Scott.
Say it was a well attended show. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. I thought it could maybe move the needle.
Well, I mean, like,
I wonder if that radio station added our
song.
I guarantee you they didn't.
They probably didn't. They probably said, "Fuck these."
I wonder what song we were trying to add at the time.
Probably.
I know a place.
I know a place. Well, Scott, thank you for your retelling of the story. And
thank you for answering a cold call.
Yeah, thank you
too.
I cannot believe you answered. You know what? I can't believe you'd answer a cold call. You're that kind of a person.
You don't call me often, so I pick up when you do.
Well, maybe I'll change that.
Love you, Scott.
Maybe cut out the part where I said I was ditching work to do this.
Definitely keep it in.
We're
definitely going to keep
Scott,
it in.
No,
sorry about your...
The rest of the photos?
Yes, yeah, definitely send us all of them. We can post them.
Scott, we're going to talk about other touring memories. So if you have any wild things that you remember, just text them
to
us.
Oh, the South by
Southwest.
We'll tell the South by Southwest story.
What?
The
Mono?
One he mentioned in the text. No, I mean, well, yeah. The,
no.
The thing. The
Did
thing.
You break the blood oath?
The blood. Oh, should we break our blood oath? Maybe.
Oh, that one. Yeah, I've broken that many times.
Joe.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, Scott, we love you, and I'm sorry that you have to go back to normal work, but
and we will digitally alter your voice so that you'll be unrecognizable.
No one will know who's
but Scott. Congratulations on your salary.
Yeah, congratulations on making that guala.
Thank you.
Excited to see you on tour when you come on tour with us in the UK. Anyways.
We're doing that. All right, I'm in.
Okay.
Right, let's do it.
We're
love
doing
you.
It. Love you, Bubba.
All right, love you guys.
Bye,
Sky.
Bye. Wow, I hope he texts this other shit.
That was fucking awesome.
Okay, I have a few things that we could talk about.
Okay.
Okay, but just
to
talk
about
just to round
the
out
the craziest thing that ever happened between you and I.
That's what I thought of when
no,
you said.
But that wasn't that. There's two things that we said we would never talk about.
That was the thing we all looked at each other. We all saw it happen and we said, we cannot.
You know what's fucked up? His eyes. Well, there's two things. Well, there's two things.
Katie's knowing nod indicates.
Oh, I cannot believe.
Culpability.
Because the thing is, I use this
product.
Product item.
To this day.
Every day of my life. Do you not know what we're talking about?
I do, but there's two different things.
Yeah. Well, which one do you want to talk about?
What's the other thing you're talking about? They're talking.
There's South by Southwest and there's the Horanus. Horanus.
Horanus.
There was the thing Rube Goldberg of intimacy.
We're talking about the Rube Goldberg of intimacy.
Dude, I gotta say, I think this is one of the worst things that's ever happened. Or do we want to talk about Petapalooza first?
Can we just round out There's Petapalooza really? Can we round it out really quick by saying
we're
counting
really
a
bad...
phone call that we had? Do you guys remember the phone call? We were going to Joshua Tree write the album. Do you recall the fact that Heather and Rich called us while we were on the way to Joshua Tree with all of our music gear in your brother's Land Rover?
About Petapalooza?
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
We got the phone call and they were like,
we really think you should do this.
Something came through.
Yeah.
And listen.
I always want to put my hand there.
It's not glamorous.
Yeah.
It's a radio show. It's in Las Vegas. It's the day after you land from being in the UK. And it's a festival.
And it's totally free.
People and their dogs.
It's totally free. You know what the thing is?
We thought it was for a dog adoption too. I think
it might have been. I got a big qualm. I got a bone to pick.
Okay.
A bone to pick with one phrase and one phrase alone that I think people who aren't in the music industry don't know.
Go ahead.
Move the needle.
I've never witnessed the needle moving.
Have you guys ever heard that as our straight correspondents?
I think our needle has moved.
No. Our needle has
Yeah, okay, well.
One straight, one knot. Hey, girl. We're not talking about you. Don't worry.
Hey, girl. Don't worry.
It's just mind blown a little bit. Space.
No. Have you guys heard that phrase?
Yeah. Yeah, I feel like that's like corporate speak.
Yeah, we get corporate shit on every day.
Okay, here's what I'll say. Anything that has been purported to us as having the potential to move the needle
has always been the most demeaning thing that you could ever do in your whole life.
One, correct.
Moves the needle,
that, and two,
the needle's never been moved.
I have not witnessed
what a
in
needle
the
moving?
Aftermath.
No,
the needle movement.
No,
I've witnessed needle movement from
us texting somebody
from a text. And a damn TikTok.
Tiki-talky.
Yeah. That we've made.
Little did they know.
Together.
This is the funny thing, you guys. Is like, it is funny because
the needle moved, but does God move the needle?
No,
is God in charge?
Not the shame show that we have to do, that we had to do and do again and again.
Our manager wants us to be on TikTok. Like, that is one of the things that she'll talk
I'm not,
to us about.
We're on
like,
TikTok. I don't mind being idiot.
No, yeah, it's moving the needle for.
I'm an idiot for money.
I'm gonna be honest.
For free.
Petapalooza. No offense to the lovely people who put this event on, does not help an artist's career. I can
but
almost certainly say that.
It is interesting how it like I didn't really understand before we got signed that. With radio, there is this idea of like you have to show up for the station and like show up to events and come in and like play songs at the station. Like there's an idea of like you have to establish relationships with those people for them to.
I just
like,
think it's all
kind
of dead now.
I don't know if it's dead for everybody.
I think TikTok
but
makes that decision now.
Yeah, yeah, maybe.
Yeah, that's true.
I really do think like the radio is
but
dictated.
TikTok didn't fucking exist when we did Petapalooza.
No.
But it's
more of like,
did.
But also it's like Spotify was starting then too. So it's like, no one was listening to the radio.
People fucking listen to the radio. We're just not on it.
The last time I was listening
to
the radio,
but that's not what dictates
what
people listen to like anymore.
No, it would be cool. Tim Tam. It would be. I don't know. I mean, that's an interesting question. It's like TikTok sounds like dictating what makes it on the radio is more of like a populist, like you know, like the people.
Yeah, the people choose.
The people choose. But I do the people, think but still the people choose,
but there's still corporate money being fed.
I was going to say, you're maybe overestimating the people power behind the choices. The
people
now
power.
That, you
it's
know,
both.
TikTok
it's both.
Is a, obviously a large corporation that can.
Or like even our label paying
it's
for
50-50,
or
right?
didn't we get money?
They give us magician
oh,
credit.
Well, sometimes I've seen the thing where like
something sponsored.
I've seen the thing where a label will pay influencers to make videos using your song.
Yes. I can't wait for us to be big enough influencer
that we get paid to use
that we get
songs.
German.
That we get German to use our song.
I have a question. Did you get paid for Pedapure?
No,
we absolutely did not.
This is the thing
so
about radio
thing.
Promo. This is the thing. Pedapure, you don't get paid for any of it.
You're doing it for a potential like future. You're scratching their back for a potential future back.
80% of all that stuff, like the most demeaning things that we once played. Okay,
it's Kiss the Hole is what
you
called.
Kiss the Hole. We once played another radio thing in Vegas, where we were doing an acoustic set. We're playing songs from the first and second record, mm-hmm. which depressing. Are devastating. They're devastating songs. And they said, let's book this band, Muna, to play a day pool party that DJs are playing, and they can do an acoustic set.
Yeah.
I have to admit that this is a moment in which I behaved not my best.
I think you. Like it's the only time that you had a temper tantrum, but you know what? It's fine.
Yeah.
It would have been.
I had a massive temper tantrum. Because
it sucked.
Looking back, though, like, it could have been funny.
I mean, the thing is, like, now
it was
it's funny.
Oh, yeah. It's objectively
like, and the thing is, we've done demeaning things for money, but most of them have been for free.
Yeah.
Most of them have been.
But it's also, like.
Shrimp cocktail.
I don't know why, but there is something that I can still romanticize about that type of thing. Like, if we get a call from
How?
The manager and be
I'm
like,
curious.
It's not glamorous.
Is it just
but,
to
like,
romanticize pain?
I don't know. I like the idea of having to work for. I don't. Maybe
it's like a Protestant thing.
I mean, I'm not Protestant. I'm Irish Catholic.
Well, you know what I mean. An American.
What is the Protestant?
The Protestant work ethic. The sort of life as
strap by the
life as
pain. Well, you know what's interesting is I'm reading Eric Fromm right now.
Oh, sure.
And he talks a lot about Martin Luther and mm-hmm. like how he had an authoritarian personality.
Yeah.
And he like
Theodore Adorno would have something to say about that too, I believe.
Yeah, I think he wanted something to like he had a problem with the authority of the Catholic Church,
but not with authority
time,
in general.
Not with authority in general. He still wanted something to like submit to.
Absolutely.
And I think yes, I've been wondering recently if I have like an authoritarian personality.
I don't think you do. You're far too
the
inquisitive.
Authority or you seeking authority.
So this is part of what I'm learning in this book.
You seek leader.
No, but it's always both. It's
yes,
always
sure.
both.
You
it's
seek
like,
leader.
It's like a sadomasochistic thing. It's like you want to have power over other people, but you want some thing to have power over you so that you don't have to be like alone in the universe deciding what you're gonna do with your one life.
Would you like me to pull up
have...
the Adorno the qualifications
quiz.
That make an authoritarian
yeah
personality?
let's look it up but I do
I,
think you do kind of have
I would not describe
the
you
hot
as
club,
one.
I do
I
think
I
you
was,
do kind of have an, and it's something it's also why you're a brilliant person and it's because you're a seeker but I do think you could have joined a cult
for sure
you know
yeah
I mean, I probably could have too, but I'm not sure. But I think anyone is capable. But I do think due to the level of seeking for a mission statement,
mm-hmm.
I think maybe that's more true than seeking for. I guess maybe what's the difference between a mission statement and like actual like authority?
Well, it's like it's also like that line in the Fiona Apple song where she's talking about like – how hard it is to
which song?
Like the blood that's shed to get diamonds and it's like is that what makes them valuable it's like sometimes if something is it's like everything it's but, like if something is hard to get and hard to achieve and like I have to fly across the world in like 2 days and play a show on no sleep then that makes it seem like I'm doing something that's gonna be valuable
okay
you know?
I mean I think that's part of human nature is to actually is the seeking rather than the actual like object you know what I mean
attaining
yeah you get the you attain it and then it's meaningless but like the
one could say that it's the climb.
That's cruel optimism, right?
One could say it is the climb.
What's cruel optimism?
It's like an effective theory about like the way that we consume things with the hope of changing our realities, and once we acquire them, we end up in a more sort of permanent cycle of unsatiated desire. And
is it capitalism?
We're trapped in capitalism. Yeah. It's like a 20th century. It's like an 80s and 90s kind of phenomenon.
I like the sound of the phrase
cruel optimism.
Yeah.
I'll send you.
To be honest, it sounds like a good song or like record title. Sexy.
Our boy, Theory and Philosophy podcast. Mm-hmm. Shout out. Does a great episode on that.
Okay, that's interesting.
If you'd like a little overview. I'm doing a piss poor job of explaining it, but essentially it is like the idea that, you know, looking for God in the object, and then you buy the object to stave off the feelings of anxiety that you feel because of the state of the
This is gonna be me when I get my Loewe bag.
Yeah. I mean, like, but you know what? Here's what I will say. Cruel optimism aside, sometimes an object can change your life.
But I do think it's
when
like
does
what
an object
what,
change your life?
But what
a Sonicare toothbrush.
It's like okay, but what
that changed Sonicare? My life.
What is the value? What is toothbrush? The you have like a cheapy one.
It stinks.
You have oh my God. You know why? You have the travel one, and every time you use it, you put it back in that thing without letting it dry. So there's probably
stinky
moldy,
girl.
Stinky in there.
What do I do?
Maybe vinegar, soak the thing,
it's
and then get a new
vinegar,
head.
Back
and
to
then
the
get
vinegar.
A new head. Anyways.
Always. Okay, do you want
to... This is life. Okay, womanhood is just soaking things in vinegar.
I think
but
that's
the thing
just
is,
life.
The thing is, it's like...
Forget womanhood.
Sometimes it's just like the smell will never
life
go away.
Life is womanhood, and womanhood is soaking things in vinegar. Sure.
Yeah.
Totally.
We're entering a space right now.
But anyways, we're going to take a break from this shit.
Thank God.
Let me start by saying this show, Gaiotic, is sponsored by BetterHelp.
How are you guys doing right now? Speaking of BetterHelp.
Not good.
Yeah?
Well, you know, living in the world as we're experiencing it now can often be... You know, at times you'll feel elated and at other times you'll feel very depressed. And I think we oscillate between those two emotions frequently. And
absolutely.
It's hard to do that by yourself.
Definitely.
Well, that's why it's so nice to have a therapist that you can talk to help bring you back to what you care about in life. Or just talk about, you know, the everyday problems of existence.
Yeah.
You know?
We are very pro therapy as a band. I'm also pro, like, getting help where you can find it. And what I love about BetterHelp is how accessible it is for people to try. I have a lot of friends where BetterHelp was, like, the first therapist that they
I was going to mention a friend
found.
Of ours
yeah.
who had a BetterHelp, who found his therapist through BetterHelp as an individual that travels quite a bit and mm-hmm. needed to be able to do it over the phone. And, yeah, it's like starting therapy can be a lot like starting to date. And mm-hmm. it makes you feel very nervous, and you do have to find the right person, and mm-hmm. BetterHelp can, you know, kind of facilitate that process a little bit.
Definitely. So we encourage all y'all to visit betterhelp.com/gaiotic today, and you can get 10% off of your first month. That's betterhelp.com/gaiotic. Go to therapy, y'all. Go.
Please
get help.
You're
listening to Gaiotic? Go to therapy.
Put the podcast down and get help with BetterHelp.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
And we're back from break. Do you guys want to talk about the F scale? Do you want me to read this to
you? Are
we
going to do this or are we going to finish our tour talk? That's really...
No, I would rather figure out
We'll go from tour to whether
you're
or not Katie is
fascist.
A fascist subject.
No, but the thing is...
Back to tour.
I think everyone should be asking themselves, am I a fascist? We're living in a nation that's slipping into fascism.
I'm going to tell you. I'm going to tell you.
Americans are.
You don't have, first of all, you don't have a blind allegiance to authority. So you are already disqualified. But I would be happy to read to you the other personality.
I don't think I have a blind allegiance to authority.
I think
you regardless.
Can.
Not at all.
You can, but
slip from religion. Everybody's in this world is going to be a fascist. Everybody in America. Because they don't want to use their brain. There's no God.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But,
yeah,
okay. Yeah, so sure. Here's a question.
I did make sense. So I said it in a crazy way.
I understood what you're saying.
So here's a question. Like, are very religious people who look for answers in the Bible, like, is that also considered, like, fascist?
Why wouldn't
God
it be?
That's an F-scale attribute.
Think about it as, like, let's say you're Roman Catholic. Like, all belief is in the church.
I love the way you say Catholic.
Roman Catholic.
Californian.
Roman
Catholic.
Shut up. Roman.
Okay,
you know what I mean? But that's an institution. You just make the church is the institution. Religion, you're taking religion out of the church.
The church is the place. Like, I kind of do need, like,
we all do.
We all need order.
Yeah, the world's a void, baby.
I need to, like, feel like
we need meaning.
I don't know how to live life, and I need to learn from a source
community.
Outside of me.
Community. That's human.
Yeah, but that's also like you're a seeker. So you learn.
That's just being a freaking primate.
Okay, so but is the difference between like
goddamn primate,
being
dude,
fascist and being like a free thinking person, like that you're seeking answers from a larger community versus seeking answers from like one person or one group.
But say, are like, you constantly something... seeking from like a you say what you're gonna say?
I was gonna say that remember. Like the thing that sticks out as a primary like attribute of a fascist personality is the belief that humanity is evil. Like,
oh, interesting. Whoa.
Like that humans are bad and we need
what,
to
need control.
And we need control and we're and
oh,
like
I didn't know that.
Am I a fascist?
Do you know what I mean?
You think humans are bad inherently?
I do think people need control because I do think people are inherently
structure.
Selfish. I really do.
Mm.
Unfortunately. You're just not everybody's like that, but I do think it's like it's very hard because of how many of us there are to not look for another as an enemy.
I think that I understand the idea of like humans being inherently selfish, but like I think that if we live in that way, it leads us to not want to
it
keep
leads
living.
Us to fascism.
Well, no, that's not what I'm saying. I'm saying like if you're living for yourself and trying to like fill your own
cup.
Like voids and consume enough to like get to a certain point of contentment, like you will want to die. Like,
well, yeah.
So I think that like a human in alignment is a human that has like given up.
Like a lack of the death drive? Or what do you mean?
I'm just saying like that maybe humans are inherently selfish, but the part of growing up and like becoming a fully realized human is understanding that you have to have like an internalized,
yeah.
I don't know. I don't want to say cop, but you need to move in a different direction.
Humans are inherently a lot of things. I think humans are inherently can behave in a sort of instinctual, selfish way, but I also think we're inherently communal creatures. Like,
yeah, but I mean, so like, what's part of your community? You know what I mean?
I think we're so isolated. That's why we live in such a sick society. Like, I really think that's why fascism is. This is not a political podcast. I'm a fucking dumb.
Yeah, I mean,
bitch.
We're all idiots. I've read two books.
I know. I kind of can't believe the conversation went this way.
Your face when you're saying certain things and the
I'm
look on your face
whore.
Makes me think
don't
that you're ready for it to be over or not. I'm not sure.
No, she's thinking.
It's the thinking
her
face.
Thinking face. Yeah, she's thinking.
I mean, my only thing that I'll say to you well. Is like I'm not disagreeing. But I just think about, like, way back in the day, like, we did live in community, but we were still...
You're sapiens.
Yeah, no, but it is true that we were still...
afraid of the other. The other is the enemy. The
tribal.
Other makes us.
We are tribal.
Yeah, we're super tribal.
So the book that is true. The book that I'm reading right now is called Escape from Freedom, and it's by Eric Fromm, and it's kind of about how, like, essentially he's saying that technology, like, human society has developed to a point where we have freedom, like a level of freedom and individual choice that we frankly, like, don't know what to do with.
Yeah.
And it comes with a, like, we're all plagued with a overwhelming, like, sense of loneliness. And so one of the ways that we can escape from that burden of freedom is through, like, fascism. But the true
this
escape
reminds
from
me-
it is learning the art of, like, love.
Oh, this is what the book
building.
That you were
this
talking
is,
about.
So the
this
next
is,
book after
it's
Escape
called
from
the
Freedom
art of
is
love.
The Art of Love.
This is freedom. Mm. This is the whole, you know, like, fucking dialectic exchange between freedom from and freedom to.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Like, that is what we're vibing on here, people. You should, I do suggest the Maggie Nelson book on freedom. I feel like they're in conversation with one another.
Yeah,
when is this book from,
it.
The Eric Fromm book? I haven't read it.
I don't know.
On Freedom is very interesting.
Oh, you know what? Escape from Freedom, I think, was maybe like 1950s, 1960s.
Wow.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Yeah, so these are, I think you should read them close together if you can.
Okay. I'm not disagreeing.
And then get back to me.
Can you do a little bit more of a quiz of
the F scale? Yeah. Okay, I'm just going to read you. I'm literally just going to read.
How did we get here? How did we get here?
I don't know, dude. Okay, so the purpose of the F scale.
We were talking about our manager, like, telling us what to do and how I like it.
I'm like, yes, mommy.
Well, we
I
all
mean,
need
wait,
mommy.
It, you know what's really funny?
Fascism is not mommy.
Is when we are on tour.
Mommy.
Is that when you feel the most content in this way because you no longer have choice? When we're on tour, we have a pure schedule.
But we do better with, we as people.
Yeah, we do better with
do
structure.
Do better with fewer choices anyway.
No,
like,
I
the
agree.
Reality we're
I agree.
Confronted with is so overwhelming. So that totally makes sense to me. You're not a fascist. I'm going to read you the fucking list.
Yeah, okay. I mean, but you're sister.
I think having a fascist personality is different than being a fascist.
No, but you don't have that.
Okay.
And I'll tell you why.
Let's go.
Okay. So.
Let's go.
Anyone who wants to look this up, I'm going to do a very bad job of explaining this. It's Theodor Adorno, the F scale, authoritarian personality test.
I'm totally a fascist.
These are the qualities that people who score high on this test tend to, you know, possess. Conventionalism, conformity to traditional societal norms and values of the middle class. Dubious to say the middle class at this point, but you know what you get what I'm saying. Authoritarian submission. A passive notion towards adhering to conventional norms and values.
You're reading, like, so fast.
Sorry. she's not submitting to my authority in this situation.
No, the way
she's
that you said.
She's questioning me.
Sorry.
I kind of you're, think dude, I'm, like, you're a not, little bit stoned. You're not a fascist, dude.
Authoritarian.
None of us
telling
are.
Me that. I'm just, I know.
Authoritarian
I'm just,
aggression.
I'm just interested in this.
Punishing what? And condemning individuals who don't adhere to conventional values. You are a beep. So you don't count.
Yeah.
None of us do.
Yeah, that's the issue. None of us could really be fascist.
Well, no, but it's interesting because
traditional values.
Some gays actually want to be fascist because
well, that's
that,
true.
To be with the hegemony.
Well, one time I was talking about
homonormativity.
I was talking to a friend. Go with me here. I was talking to a friend about the like
never gonna finish
character trait
list.
Of being like status seeking.
Oh yeah.
So, like,
oh, yeah.
Like, if somebody, like, wants to, like, have famous friends or, like, be around people that are successful, like,
yes.
Just want successful people in their lives and think that adds value to their life, you know? But she was like, you could be, like, in a group of dumpster divers and be status seeking in that group.
Totally.
Of like
the most elite dumpster
diver. The most
diver.
Elite dumpster diver.
Yeah,
like,
totally.
Every single group has its own.
This is insane.
I would say,
I'm going to interject about myself.
I think I am not a fascist.
I know you're not.
I'm, yeah. Well, I don't give a fuck.
Now, will I ever finish?
Well, but yeah, no, but that's true. Saying, I don't think the interesting part is being like, I'm a fascist or I'm not a fascist. I think the interesting part is like exploring how.
Well, Katie, the listener there's might be intrigued.
There's the conventional society of like a straight person who's married with like two kids. Yeah, but then we also live in a little bubble where there's also other conventions.
Yeah, well, but 100%. You. Okay. An interesting aspect of the fucking test that I'm never going to be able to fucking finish.
I guess I'll shut the fuck up.
No, it's fine.
No, I'm not saying that.
We don't have a rejection. One of the big things and something that none of us experience is a rejection, as you can tell by this fucking conversation, a rejection of like inwardness, looking in, self-criticism.
Oh, interesting.
But that's exactly why. I think most Americans, because it's like, it's because of the existential dread. You know what I mean? To open up that can is to open up the can of death.
Yeah. And it's also the layer of like, it's also the layer of like, if you're a working human that doesn't have the privilege of like,
yeah, I mean, we're like, beep, 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 we literally are. Yeah,
by the way, we all took three tabs of acid before this.
That's our job. But you know what's really interesting though?
Yeah.
Is, there are levels of norms that
there are attractive norms.
Yeah, yeah. When we were talking about like marriage the other day.
Totally.
We won't talk about it.
Go on.
I don't have to talk about it.
No, go ahead.
But
you feel pressure to adhere to?
Yeah, because you like that norm and you want to impose it on us. When I'm saying because I live my life with my partner in a committed way, but doesn't mean I believe in the prescriptive nature of marriage because I think, why? Why the fuck would I do any of this shit? Yeah. Like, I don't give a fuck.
Tax breaks.
I guess that's maybe one reason. Yeah. And health insurance.
I hear you. Okay. Is there anything else?
There's a few other things like concern for like... It's very heterosexual, so it's like very concerned about like sexual goings on and going on.
You best be
in the
fucking
lives of others. No, like,
well, I guess we're kind of concerned.
You best be fucking in the normal
they're
way.
They're not horny for. I mean, maybe they're secretly horny.
They're
filled with hate. Yeah,
they're policing. You can only do.
Obviously, okay. So like
missionary.
The transphobia is built into the fascism.
Yes, absolutely. But it's homophobia, transphobia, racism, xenophobia. It's all built in.
Part of it has to be like
the world, here we are, the normal people,
and then all the others
who don't look inward and who are normal and
keep the lid on this
because we don't need to think about our existence in any sort of critical way. And then outside of that is the dangerous, evil, cynical world that we live in, filled with dangerous, deviant
People who are trying flavored lubricants and brown people.
And like, anyway, that's a great.
I do think that most people, though, like probably do have a more, you know, fascist leaning personality type. But 100%. It's because it's like it's really scary.
I think
life is really scary.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, to be alive. It's like what was the whole point of all of this, especially if religion doesn't exist anymore?
I just liked the idea. Like it was helpful for me to understand that. That draw towards like somebody else telling you like who is good, who is bad, like what is right, what is wrong, like and not having to figure it out for yourself. Like
totally.
I understand and I have sympathy for that.
Mm, God bless yummy, you. Yummy, hungry.
Hungry tummy.
I was gonna point the mic down towards it, but I bet the mic picked it up. I'm sorry.
Yeah, I think it also got me saying yummy, yummy, hungry.
But ultimately, like when I to take it back to like our manager telling us to play Petapalooza, lol.
We have a choice.
I wouldn't like. I ultimately, if you go way back, like I felt that being a musician was what I wanted to do with my life and what was meaningful about being alive. And I like looked inward and was like, I have a story to tell.
Well, yeah. Yeah. Sometimes you have to take.
What now you feel
you
no
take
longer.
An L. Sometimes
no,
you take,
I still feel that way.
You take L's because you know that it's for. Maybe there's like a fear of just not having done something.
I like
not
doing
having
something
tried
for like
something.
A higher purpose. Yeah.
Yeah. That's
yeah.
What
I mean, I think that's what. The whole point of like
to do is better than to not do.
Yeah, 100.
I guess.
Yeah.
Hamlet.
I think it's just harder. I think it's harder the older you get because it's just.
I'm glad we did it while we were young.
Yeah, but the dream.
To do it old is like
What is the point of the dream? You know what I mean? Like when you're getting older and it's like things have lost their shine. And so I don't know.
I don't think to do it old is unacceptable. It's just
I'm just saying I think it's harder. I think it's harder because you you've experienced things and you're just like, life's really tiring.
Do you guys know Blonde and Carr?
Why is that so familiar?
She's a new musician, but I think she's in her like 50s.
Oh, that's sick. Cool.
And yeah, she's really sweet. And she just like figured out that she loved electropop music.
Dope. Let's fucking go.
She's so cute and like stylish.
That's awesome.
Yeah. And like she has a sick look, you know, because nobody looks like her.
Listen, what matters more than anything is...
having a sick look.
Having
is
to be honest.
And aesthetics.
I liked on the Bowen episode, like him saying something like the aesthetic is the medium.
Yeah, it's hard.
It's important.
I struggle with that. I would like to reject my...
corporeal.
Yeah, I would like to reject the physical realm.
Can I do a complete pivot?
I would
back to tour?
Yeah, totally.
Well, I'm having a weird, like, compulsion to bring up, like, the period of time on tour where I was the dump queen, like, living in the back of the
van. You were just dissociative.
No? I was literally, like, okay, so we had a van. We would tour in a van.
Back to tour.
And...
we called the back of the van the dump
because yeah, that's where
all dump. The shit
because that's where everyone would put their backpacks.
Yeah, we barely had any room for anything.
You would not have leg room, so you'd have to like lay down pretty much.
And there was something about like being in the like troll hole that I really love. So I would always be in the back with all the junk sleeping. But there was also a period of time, I can't remember which tour, where I was like just reading erotica for like
much
of the day.
That's cool.
Or that's was it not fun, cool? Right? Or no?
I mean,
was
like,
it dark?
No, it was great.
Yeah. Okay.
I mean, I think it's just like, I don't know. I think there are points in our lives, and this is just a justification for how I'm currently living, where
you do what you got to do.
You just do what you got to do, and you consume what you got to consume. And I've been just, you know, I've just been trying to tune out.
What were coping mechanisms that you guys had on tour that weren't erotica?
I mean, I don't have necessarily good coping mechanisms historically. Right now, TikTok has been a coping mechanism. Is it good?
It's so bad.
But I need, dude, I gotta be honest, we're working so hard. I need to tune out, man.
Are you getting like
the
same ads over and over again on TikTok?
I don't know, man.
It feels like it's turning into like
a loop,
yeah.
Ad loop.
I mean, I don't think I had good coping mechanisms when we were previously on tour.
I can't think of a single mechanism.
I mean, now it's exercise.
Dissociation.
And, you know?
Well, I was just like obsessed with one person and I would look at his Twitter all the time.
Yeah, I mean, like that's the
for
that's
a man
the thing.
To
it's
tweet.
Like, you gotta like, I think the coping mechanism, LOL, that is.
For a straight man, for a straight man to tweet.
Well, we don't know that he was straight.
Well, okay.
Well.
That's interesting.
Fine. For
what I'm implying, man? The audience knows, they know what I mean. That is a cry for
help. I love how strong you are about this. You're so strong.
You're so strong.
Thank you.
You know, wait.
Scott sent us a video of a very good coping mechanism.
What,
yours,
fidget spinning?
Fidget spinner.
Yeah, ADHD to the max.
Yeah, fast
It's like Katie's tattoo.
I know. I have a tattoo of a triskelion that like I didn't really realize, but then after I got it, someone was like, "Huh, it kind of looks like a fidget spinner."
You know what? Okay, I have two. We have two stories. Stories we will tell, but I'm going to say two things.
Yeah, we need to like
the first one. I will say, speaking of coping mechanisms, is that the reimagining of your life in a comical way is the greatest coping mechanism of all.
Humor, come
absolutely.
On.
Absolutely.
And
isn't that in Viktor Frankl?
I think the first
Absolutely,
I think the first story.
Come on now.
I think we should tell the South by Southwest
it's fundamental.
Story.
Okay, who wants to tell that? And then
I can do it.
Okay, go.
Okay, so this was, I think we've talked about this before. This was our first, like,
we weren't ever supposed to talk about this. So
yeah,
let's say
a
little prayer and hopefully we won't get cursed.
Oh my
God. No, we're not going to be cursed. We're not going to be cursed.
Okay.
The seal has been broken.
So this was the end of the hardest week of our lives as a band.
At this point. At that point.
At that point.
Let me tell you, it got much worse.
We were staying in an Airbnb with a taxidermied cat.
Yeah, Katie and I were sleeping in a bed. Naomi and Brian were sleeping in bunk beds. Scott was sleeping on a couch. I think, Katie, you had your period.
The bunk beds.
In
I had
bed
mono.
With me.
I had mono, and the bunk beds were loud.
I have my period now.
I know, but blood all in the bed.
We can track it. We can track it all right. The way back.
I'm a free bleeder.
And there was a bunch of cats, like dead cats, everywhere.
Okay, anyway, we had played,
and the shower was leaking everywhere.
It was a fucking struggle. But everybody did their best.
Yeah, we did it.
Truly, it was, you know.
We were done, and we were going to have barbecue on the last night.
No, it was not barbecue.
It was Tex-Mex. It was Tex-Mex.
It was breakfast tacos.
Okay.
No, it was inside. And we,
but it, no, but it was breakfast tacos, Tex-Mex, but it was taco.
It had like a barbecue feeling.
It was, and let me tell you.
It was Tex-Mex with a barbecue.
We were in Austin. It was breakfast tacos, Tex-Mex.
Were like industrial.
Yeah, you know what but I mean? It was still the type of food Naomi and I talked about.
Okay. Okay. So we parked the van. It has all our stuff in it. We're going to the airport.
Wait. We rented also, because we were in Austin, this was the first thing we'd ever done. We rented essentially like a Toyota Sienna, it was a minivan. It wasn't like a normal
touring sprinter van.
It was a minivan.
But it had all our shit in it. And
it was essentially
we were like,
a Honda Odyssey.
Let's just
something like
stop.
That. Sienna not one of those?
And get Tex-Mex breakfast before we go. To the airport?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, so we have breakfast. We're walking back.
Having
up
best
the street.
Time. We did it.
We did it. Everyone's feeling a huge amount of relief.
Yeah.
We're walking back up the street, and like about a block away, I can't remember who noticed first,
but I'll just say it was Scott.
Scott's like, is the door of the van open? And as we get closer, we realize that whoever was the last person who had gotten out of the van had neglected to close the door even an inch. So
it was wide open during South by Southwest.
With all of our gear,
with our earthly possessions.
And
our
suitcases, didn't have any money to
everything.
We didn't have any money to buy those things again.
Yeah.
Absolutely not. And it was wide
but
the fuck open.
The reason we took a blood oath was because we got so blessed that day in the sense that not an item was missing when we got back to the van. So we were just like, we can never speak of this again. We have to just say that this didn't happen. Honestly, was me. And it must have been me.
I didn't want to say anything.
It must have been me.
But also, here's the thing. Not to shift blame. It probably was you.
But it was your fault.
The driver who's locking the car.
Yeah, the driver who was locking.
The driver who's locking the car.
It should have gone noise.
Well, it's also like we didn't know, but we didn't know at the time yet how my brain worked on tour because we had just started touring.
In general. Mm.
So like our tour manager now knows like
people dummy check every room Katie's been in.
Like, for example, when we came back from Kansas City, I was responsible for the show bag that has all our clothes in it.
It's just because
when we were leaving the hotel, I had checked it like in the closet of the lobby of the hotel in the morning because I thought we were supposed to check out of our rooms.
But we actually
had
our
rooms for the day.
Cool.
So show bag was in the closet of the hotel lobby. I almost left that entire show bag just at the hotel.
In a way, I wish you would have. I'm sick
for
of
the
it.
Story. No. Oh, you don't want to see it anymore.
I don't want to see it. It's in my basement. I'm
but
sick
our
of
tour manager knows at this point, like anything that Katie is responsible for, she's not going to be responsible for. So I think Scott just didn't know that probably at the time.
Scott was new to the job. We were all new to this job.
And we also weren't in the same place of psychological, like, embodied privilege that we are now.
Well, we're
taken care of.
Yeah.
And also,
there's something
humans
about
are inherently
that.
Good, so nobody stole anything from us. They said, this seems like the van of a
What about the U-Haul
like
that recently got?
Band.
Speaking of thievery, many of you maybe were following our
U-Haul debacle.
Our U-Haul sort of saga.
Wild tale.
our amps were stolen from a U-Haul during Pride Month, if you can fucking believe it. That's obviously tragic. As soon as straight month occurred, the U-Haul was found. The amps were recovered.
Only one is missing, and they're barely damaged.
It's such a happy
Only
ending.
One is missing,
it's
a and, happy and I'll tell you this much. The cops were not helpful in any way. Wow. They were not the... I know, shocker.
Shocker.
So fuck the police and fuck all cops and fuck you guys. They did nothing to find this fucking U-Haul. The U-Haul company
I knew that they were going to find it.
Were the ones who found the goddamn car.
The amps have no value to anyone
Is
but
it bad
us.
That I feel kind of bad for the person who stole it?
I mean...
Like, I mean, you can, feel, like, you can feel.
I mean,
empathy
I would say that the thing I feel empathy
out.
For is not that there was nothing for their use. I feel empathy that they felt like they had to make that decision.
Yeah, yeah. To be in that place.
Do we tell this the last story, or do we keep
I'm
it
honestly,
with us?
I'm thinking about it. I feel like we should tell it, but it's also like, oh my god, I'm really just laying bare
My whole soul for the internet.
My whole soul.
To consume.
I mean, we can choose to keep it in the episode, or we can choose to take it out.
Okay.
Should we just allude to it? Is that fun or is that lame?
Allude to what happened or not?
What city were we in?
You couldn't tell me.
Okay. But it was like...
We were sharing... This was in
the three of us...
It was in a time...
The three of us have shared a hotel room.
Many.
For the... Until last year, the three of us would share a bed.
Yeah,
we still share rooms sometimes, but we would share a bed.
I miss sharing the beds.
I don't want to share a fucking bed.
I know you don't, but I'm allowed to have an opinion about it.
Yeah, and I am not allowed to be in bed with you anymore.
I miss it, but anyway.
I like when we're all in bed together watching TV.
I would love, when we were in the UK and we had a room with three beds, that's ideal. I love being with you guys.
I don't want to share a bed.
Yeah. It took me a long time to go to sleep.
That hotel was peculiar,
room.
and we had no natural light except for in the closet because we were underground. But the three bed situation was
or the
awesome.
Last the last
Ingrid,
hotel situation
we watched Ingrid Goes West.
Yeah, that movie's
wild. We watched
wild.
The Big Short.
Did we?
Yeah, me and Katie did.
Oh, I was gone by that point.
It was great.
Never seen.
Such a good movie.
Never seen. I did enjoy it. I'm not a person of taste, though, so I don't really know what movies are good or bad.
Mm-hmm, yes.
But
you,
I liked
you
it.
You completely tasteless.
At least for film.
That's what I
you
think about.
I
that's what
anything.
I think about Naomi, I think.
I watched Fast 10 the other day.
Dude, I'm watching Love Island, and I'm literally doing heroin TV in my brain to get me through.
All right, cool.
Okay.
Cool.
We're obsessed with calling TV heroin.
Well, anything can be heroin if you use it that way.
That's what Karl Marx said.
Yeah.
Okay, so we were in a hotel room, the three of us, and we had
getting
kind of established
bed.
Like a delicate dance of like, yeah, getting ready for bed.
Bathroom party.
Yeah, bathroom
party.
Bathroom it's like
party.
Someone's taking a shower, someone's on the toilet, somebody's washing their face. And
I grind my teeth.
Yeah.
I cannot believe we're doing this. I grind my teeth. I wear a night guard.
And explain
had braces.
What you have to do with the night guard.
Well, I choose. You don't have to. People who don't, I don't
Joe
agree
has
with
good
you.
Hygiene.
I put in a little bath.
Oh, you should.
You know?
You should have to do this.
I put in a retainer cleaner bath.
Yeah.
And so
wash your retainers.
So it's like
so
my
retainer.
So it's like a little. It's like a retainer holder, and then
yeah, on
Joe
tour
fills it
I'll
up
just
with fluid
yeah, or I'll get a cup.
It.
I don't know if it was in a cup or the retainer thing.
Yeah. Okay, so Joe's doing that. I am getting ready for bed. I'm on my period, and so I'm
getting out of
my
shower. I've just gotten out of the shower. Maybe I'm in a
I'm
towel.
Changing my diva cup.
You're
because that's what you have to do.
You're bung naked.
Yeah.
I think we're all naked.
We're usually all naked.
Imagine
I love
that for us.
So I take out my diva cup. Everything's going smoothly. Pour out what can be poured. And then, you know, like you have to, or at least at the time I was like washing it clean in the sink.
At the time.
My head is hung. My eyes are closed.
No, because I actually
don't
always wash it off in the sink anymore. I'd like to know if other Diva Cup users like wash it off every time.
I wash it off.
I kind of feel like what's on it should like stay on it.
It's
what?
More my hands.
Like a cast
I
iron?
I wash my
yeah, a little bit.
And you know what? I don't even do that with a cast iron anymore.
I know. Yeah.
I wash my cast irons.
Well, because we're consuming too much iron.
Anyway,
also
It's you're supposed to. It's a
well,
lie.
I'm obviously I'm boiling it when I'm done with the round of like using the
boiling
diva cup.
It?
But
yeah. Oh, the diva cup.
As in to clean it.
Yeah. You're talking about your cast iron.
No, I'm putting the cast iron in a pot. I'm boiling my cast iron.
No, yeah, she's boiling her cast iron and then she puts her diva cup in the oven.
Okay, so
with olive oil.
So, but at the time, like every time I like took it out and put it back in, I was washing it off in the sink, and the timing was such that Josette's retainer
bath.
Was
so the timing as such. My retainer was in its bath next to the sink.
It was next to the sink. And the diva cup is, have you guys ever washed a spoon?
Yes, I've done that before.
So you kind of know the laws of physics there, right? Where the water's going down, the spoon is curving up.
The mechanics of that, yeah.
And so it's actually forming somewhat of a geyser.
I cannot believe you did this to me.
So the unspeakable, the un guys,
the unspeakable.
I hate to tell you,
the unspeakable occurred.
The unspeakable
thus
occurred.
Quoth, yeah.
So it occurred.
It occurred.
We don't have to go more explicit than that.
Wait,
it
you
occurred.
Know what I'm remembering now is like the
we didn't even talk
silence,
about
silence. The thick.
We all
silence.
We just all
in the
looked
air.
At it. We were just like.
We somehow were able to isolate each of our eyeballs so that everyone was looking at everyone else at the same time. Like, I swear time, I have
and like
I have,
air became, gas became solid.
I'm not, like, I'm not.
Gas became solid,
I'm
yes.
I'm not kidding you. That was one of those moments where
space
time
changed.
Slows down.
Yeah, yeah.
Like,
it was crazy. And you're just thinking about how insane it is that like once you're in a moment, you can't go to the moment before.
Well, you
you're
also. You're
trapped in the moment that you're in.
You look at me. Because you were going to say something, and I think I just said, shook my head.
You shook your head, yeah.
You said, nope.
I think I said, I don't want to talk about this. And then
I don't want to talk about this ever again.
And it took us years before we told another person.
Yeah, it did. It
we
did.
We didn't tell anyone
the shame.
For years.
Yeah. It was almost like a family shame.
Yeah.
Toxic
I mean,
it was.
I obviously cleaned my vessel.
Yeah.
I had to.
Did you wear it that night?
I fucking have to. I have to, dude. That's the thing. It's not a voluntary thing for me. I grind my teeth.
Oh, fuck.
I wear it to this fucking day.
The same one?
Yes, bitch. Oh,
that's,
it's expensive.
That's romantic.
Buy me another one. It's $800.
That will be funny.
$800 beep
that's
in
good
your
to
mouth.
Know. I'll find the right time to get you a new one.
She's
and
never going to get me a new
get you
one.
A new impression.
No.
I really do
I like,
need a new one.
Yeah.
That you
new
know what, Joe?
Slaps.
That was our blood oath.
I hate you. Blood oath. If we keep this in, no one judge us. I had no choice. I have to wear my retainer, guys. I have to.
It was cleaned.
I cleaned
after.
It, obviously.
God, are people going to... Is the internet going to be aflame with conversations about
no,
this?
No, no. Like, people, like, drink blood like fucking dirty sex vampires.
Yeah.
That is gross.
I'm not a sex vampire.
I'm sorry that I did this.
I'm sorry you did this, too. You know what the thing is? We just have thousands of stories for forever. That's, you know, I guess these are some of, like, the big ones.
Yeah. I
yeah, these are our big exes.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah,
big X experience. Big X is an experience.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's yeah. Probably the closest we've come.
No, there's other times. Do you? Well, I guess we'll not remember the one time.
Cut this out if we don't want it. Go ahead.
Remember the one time the three of us were drunk and we were on tour with Group Love.
Okay.
And we were gonna meet them at a bar. We met them, but the three of us were too hammered, and you told us that we should have a threesome.
I don't remember this at all.
You don't remember this?
No. Well, like,
or you said that you thought we were going to have a threesome.
That night?
Yeah.
The three of us?
The three of us.
Oh, my God.
What's amazing is that I was so hammered.
I don't remember this.
That I don't remember
this
serious? At
all. It was that tour. It was the tour where...
What was going through your mind?
Like, I don't know. Probably I'm going to vomit. I'm not a good drinker.
Wait, were we in New Orleans?
No,
was
that
this
was
when
a different
we were falling
though.
Up the stairs because we were so hammered.
I don't remember that, but cool. It could have been.
We were walking up to their green room, which was upstairs, and we
no,
were already
that was
so
in
drunk.
That was in Canada, and we were also all kissing.
I just remember the time.
Do you remember you and I were kissing in the bathroom?
Wow, that was
yeah,
the first
you
time.
You like to kiss when
yeah,
you
yeah, but we're
get
fun
drunk.
In we're a fun way.
It was fun.
The time before Naomi and I were dating, when we were hanging out and we were drunk and your friend Clay was there.
Oh, yeah.
And that was the time that I thought we were going to have a threesome.
I think I was also too drunk then.
Yeah, no. I mean, I think honestly that is one of the main things that happen when a threesome is like a potential option. It's like people are probably just too
hammered.
Yeah, the only time I've come close to having a threesome is when I was in high school, and then two people were fine with it being a threesome, and one person wanted to be a twosome.
Yeah.
ain't that the way though?
Yeah, I think it's like it's hard to get all three to be in a threesome, and it's hard, I think, for the threesome to actually be like sexy. I think too.
Definitely. I think I'm in. I would be completely. I would be beside myself.
We have the review. If you're.
Yeah, let's do
okay.
it.
Okay.
I can't believe we have to do it.
Can't believe we have to end this electrifying conversation that we're having.
Okay, Gushy Gecko gave.
What?
Yep.
Gushy Gecko. All right.
Gushy Gecko.
Yep. Go ahead.
5-star review, called perfect.
Yeah. Oh.
Sometimes I forget that I'm listening to a podcast because it sounds like the inside of my brain. I saw a video of the whole podcast recording, and it was so crazy because I had always imagined them recording in this windowless basement with like a chest freezer.
Well, we used to.
And lots of lamps, no overhead lighting. But they're actually sitting on comfy chairs in a normal room, which I think is really nice.
Yeah, it is.
Thank you.
Any who love the music, love the podcast.
Wow. I have one thing I got to say in the beginning.
Go ahead.
This is the inside of your brain. You got to go get help.
Yeah.
You got to say, I'm hearing some crazy fucked up shit. I was about to say something else that's crazy.
They probably are getting help. That like.
What if they like us? They should be.
Yeah. If you're listening to this podcast, you do need mental
help. mental health screening. This is the first check to say.
But I'm sure
maybe I should go talk to somebody.
But that's cute. I'm happy that
it's, no, that's a really
it does
nice
seem
review.
Like
Thank
a lot
you.
Of people are listening to this, and it's nice to. You know what though? I saw. No, listen. This is funny. I saw a comment on our TikTok that was like, oh, I'm so glad that they're doing a podcast. Like, I love their personalities. I just don't listen to their music.
You know what's really crazy? You know what's really crazy? I've seen things about us specifically where people are like, they're either like, they think that we're hot or they think that we're funny, but they don't fucking like the music.
They don't like the music.
That is
honestly
so
iconic.
Fucking funny.
Iconic. A fan. For
a
another
fan's
reason.
A fan, baby.
A fan's a fan.
Hey, listen, you.
A fan's
you,
a fan.
You like me, I love you.
But this person.
Whoa, fuck.
But this person likes both, so thank wow. you to the gecko.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you to the gecko. You know what
gecko.
I love? Gecko.
Gushy gecko.
I don't know, gushy.
Well, if you don't fuck with our music, but you fuck with our awesome personalities, then.
Still stream us. We need the money.
It's kind of like, what kind of music do you want me to make?
I think I want you to make.
You want.
I think it's like the kinds of lesbians, like, they would rather we make, like, more.
Rock.
No, I was going to say, like, traditional sapphic. Like.
Yeah.
Like.
They don't like that it's so produced.
Yeah.
Oh, sorry, we're so good.
Oh, sorry. Sorry,
it's sorry, like the pop
only
of
been,
it all.
We've been cultivating this talent.
Yeah. It's maybe the pop of it all, but who knows? Grinding. Who knows?
Sorry maybe that we know about plugins so much. And skills.
Anyways.
And automation here, and all types
I'll
of stuff.
Go, I'm going to go to the end.
EQ. Okay.
I love you guys. This was interesting.
Mm-hmm. It certainly was.
I hope no one I know and listens to this one.
Yeah, this one went too far.
We'll see what we keep. This one went too far. I love you guys, and I love you, Josette.
This was almost assuredly a step too far. I love you guys. I love our chats, and so do the people that hate our music. And I love you, Naomi.
I love you guys.
Don't be so fucking sure about it.
I feel sad.
Aw, why?
I don't know.
It's okay. You're tired.
Okay. I guess it's time to be over now. Love you guys.
I
do love you, Katie. You're doing okay.
I do love you, Katie.
Yeah, Katie.
You're doing okay.
I love you guys.
It's okay. It's okay to be tired. You've been working really hard.
Yeah. Let's get some food.
Yeah.
Gayotic is a production of HeadGum.
Created and hosted by us, the band Muna, but mostly we're known as the famous podcasters from the podcast Gayotic.
Our producer is Anya Kanevskaya.
And our associate producer is Ali Khan.
If you want to prove that you love us, feel free to leave us a review on Apple Podcasts or on Spotify or wherever people review podcasts. We might even pick your review and talk about it if it's a really good and really nice one.
You can subscribe to Gaiotic on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Stitcher,
wherever you get your podcasts.
New episodes drop on Hump Day, Wednesday. One of the greatest days of the week, baby.
That's right. We do this regularly because we have fucking discipline.
You're listening to our voices right now, which sound pretty good. But guess what? The face cards don't decline either. So head over to our Instagram at whereismuna and like one of our photos. I mean, truly any dopamine hit we can get is helpful.
Meet you right back here next week.
That was a HeadGum Podcast.